Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
In the shadowy corridors of the SCP Foundation, where anomalies lurk and secrets abound, a new threat looms on the horizon. As Agent Mason Blackwood navigates the treacherous depths of the Foundation's labyrinth halls, whispers of a clandestine adversary, the Redwood Bureau, echo through the darkness. But amidst the rising tensions, a far more insidious danger emerges, a threat that strikes fear into the hearts of even the bravest souls. SCP-610, known as the Flesh That Hates, casts its twisted shadow over the unfolding chaos, its grotesque presence a harbinger of doom. As Mason Blackwood grapples with the looming specter of war, he must confront the unsettling reality that the battle for containment is far from over. Welcome to Freaky Folklore, the podcast where we discover horrifying legends across the world and tell terrifying tales of monsters both ancient and modern. This week we are discussing SCP-610, The Flesh That Hates, an anomalous contagion that causes grotesque mutations and spreads rapidly upon contact with organic matter. This show is part of the EerieCast Podcast Network. Find more terrifying tales at EerieCast.com, such as Destination Terror. You can listen to a new episode every week as I take you to horrifying destinations, both real and mythical. Be sure to follow us on Spotify or your favorite podcasting service. You can leave an honest review on iTunes, too. The more we get, the more we grow, and hopefully, the more monsters we can explore. You can now find Freaky Folklore videos on YouTube as well. If you would like to submit an encounter or suggestions for future episodes, you can email them to carmancarion@gmail.com. That is carmancarion@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter or Instagram for information on future episodes. After the incident on Christmas Day, when SCP-4666, the Yule Man, came after him and Chin's family, the game had taken a much more serious turn. The Redwood Bureau had intentionally targeted them. But why? To keep them quiet? To show them just who they were dealing with? Either way, now Mason Blackwood was surer than ever the Redwood Bureau was trying to collect the anomalies for their own use, possibly to weaponize them. And it was up to him and Agent Conroy to not only get to the bottom of their diabolical plans and stop them at whatever cost. Once returning to the SCP Foundation headquarters, Mason set out to delve his investigation deeper into the Redwood Bureau and the Foundation. He had to make sure the SCP Foundation and the Redwood Bureau were not conspiring together. If he found out that the Redwood Bureau was trying to undermine the Foundation and take over, he would need to expose them, and time was of the essence. He had just received information from Agent Conroy that the Bureau had recently acquired one of the most threatening SCPs to date, an SCP that could cause not only a threat to human life, but on a global scale. But the information had to be wrong. How was this possible? SCP-610 had been locked away within the Foundation's containment unit for several years now. Digging through the archives, he found the file he was looking for. It was stashed in a top-secret locked file, but he was learning that he could do much more with his new abilities than just use brute strength. His mind was growing at a speed that was unreal. He could read a book and remember every word by heart. Thanks to a few hours of reading, he was now an expert at computer hacking. He sat alone in the dimly lit room, the only source of illumination coming from the screen in front of him. He leaned forward, his eyes scanning the text on the file displayed before him. The containment procedures for SCP-610 were laid out in stark detail, each word emphasizing the gravity of the situation. As he read through the document, Blackwood couldn't help but feel a sense of foreboding settle over him. The descriptions of the anomaly, its contagious nature, and the grotesque mutations it inflicted sent shivers down his spine. This was no ordinary threat. SCP-610, also known as the Flesh That Hates, was a nightmare made real. The file also revealed something that Blackwood had not been aware of. The containment unit at the Foundation only held a fragment of SCP-610. The original source was still out there, confined within the region of Siberia, where it had originally been discovered. This was alarming news. It was another potential way for the Redwood Bureau to access the dangerous anomaly. With each passing line, Blackwood's mind raced, envisioning the potential consequences if SCP-610 to escape containment, whether it be from the isolated quarantined region of Siberia or the walls of the Foundation itself. He imagined the chaos and devastation that could ensue if the anomaly fell into the wrong hands. It wasn't just about containing the threat anymore. It was about preventing a catastrophe of unimaginable proportions. His thoughts turned to the countless lives at stake, the innocent civilians who could become unwitting victims of SCP-610's relentless spread. Blackwood knew that failure was not an option. The Foundation's containment protocols were strict for a reason, and it was up to agents like him to ensure that they were upheld at all costs. But this was a larger threat than one man could handle, even a man with enhanced skills. And he wasn't sure where to start. As he continued to read, Blackwood's resolve hardened. He would do whatever it took to safeguard humanity from the horrors of SCP-610. The containment of this anomaly wasn't just a mission, it was a duty. A duty he would fulfill with unwavering determination, no matter the challenges that lay ahead, even if it took an army of trained agents, which it most likely would. But first, he had to find out if the SCP-610 fragment that the Foundation held within its walls was still secure. His thoughts raced as he pondered the security of SCP-610's containment. He knew that ensuring the anomaly remained securely within the Foundation's control was paramount. With the potential threat of outside entities like the Redwood Bureau seeking to exploit SCP-610 for their own nefarious purposes, Blackwood felt a sense of urgency wash over him. Quickly he rose from his seat and made his way out of the dimly lit room, his footsteps echoing in the empty corridor. As he navigated the corridors of the facility, Blackwood's mind churned with a singular focus to verify the integrity of SCP-610's containment unit. Once that was done, he could turn his focus to Siberia, and then the Redwood Bureau. Arriving at the designated containment area, Blackwood's heart pounded in his chest as he approached the reinforced door. With practiced efficiency, he entered the access code and stepped inside, the air thick with anticipation. His eyes swept over the containment chamber, taking in every detail with meticulous scrutiny. Relief washed over him as he confirmed that SCP-610 remained safely contained within its designated unit. The reinforced walls stood tall and secure, a testament to the Foundation's unwavering commitment to containment. However, Blackwood's sense of relief was short-lived. His mind couldn't shake the nagging thought of the Redwood Bureau's potential involvement. He knew he couldn't afford to be complacent. With renewed determination, he made a mental note to bolster security measures and increase surveillance on SCP-610's containment unit. As he exited the containment chamber, Blackwood's thoughts turned to the ongoing battle to keep anomalies like SCP-610 out of the wrong hands. His mind churned with unease as the realization struck him like a bolt of lightning. The Redwood Bureau, with their clandestine operations and insidious agenda, wouldn't need to acquire the entity of SCP-610 to pose a significant threat. Just a small sample, a mere fragment of the anomaly, could potentially unleash untold chaos if it fell into the wrong hands. His heart raced as he considered the implications. The Bureau's expertise in covert operations meant they could acquire such a sample without detection, slipping through the Foundation's defenses like shadows in the night. Blackwood suppressed a shiver, knowing that the consequences could be catastrophic. Racing against the clock, he made his way to the communication center, intent on alerting his superiors to the newfound threat. Every second counted, and he couldn't afford to waste a single moment. Blackwood's heart sank as he stepped into the bustling communications office, only to be met with an atmosphere of palpable panic. Frantic voices filled the air, and the normally composed personnel seemed gripped by fear and confusion. Something was terribly wrong. Mason was drawn to the screens that monitored the offices and the halls of the Foundation through multiple security cameras, and what he saw there chilled him to the bone. The screens revealed personnel, men and women, in lab coats and uniforms, running through the halls. Most of them had red streaks pulsing across their faces and arms. Their eyes were bloodshot with a burning red color. Rushing to the nearest colleague, Blackwood demanded answers, his voice edged with urgency. It was then that he received the chilling revelation. SCP-610 had not been stolen, but rather, it had been released within the confines of the Foundation building itself. A wave of dread washed over him as he processed the devastating implications of such a breach. The thought that the Redwood Bureau would be behind this unthinkable act sent a surge of anger coursing through him. It was a calculated strike, aimed at the very heart of the Foundation, a vile attempt to dismantle everything they had worked so tirelessly to uphold. Blackwood's mind raced as he considered the enormity of the situation. The infected individuals, driven by the insatiable urge to spread SCP-610, would wreak havoc within the facility, leaving chaos and destruction in their wake. The lives of everyone within the building were now in grave danger, and time was of the essence. As the infection unleashed by SCP-610 spread like wildfire throughout the Foundation headquarters, chaos reigned supreme. Screams echoed through the corridors as infected personnel, their bodies grotesquely mutated, roamed the halls in a frenzied craze. The once orderly facility descended into a nightmarish hellscape of blood, flesh, and terror. Blackwood fought tooth and nail alongside his fellow agents, battling against the relentless tide of infection. With each passing moment, the situation grew increasingly dire, and the odds of containment seemed more and more insurmountable. Yet amidst the chaos and despair, Blackwood refused to yield, his determination unyielding in the face of overwhelming adversity. Amidst the turmoil, a glimmer of relief pierced through the darkness. Blackwood's thoughts turned to his colleague, Chin, who had fortunately been on holiday at the time of the outbreak. Though he worried for the safety of his friend, he couldn't help but feel a sense of gratitude that Chen had been spared the horrors unfolding within the Foundation headquarters. With Chen safely out of harm's way, Blackwood focused his efforts on rallying the remaining personnel and containing the outbreak before it could spread beyond their grasp. Every moment was crucial, and failure was not an option.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
As the fourth episode in our SCP series, we continue to follow Agent Mason Blackwood. After a secret mission working for the SCP Foundation, Blackwood's life took an unexpected turn. A Navy SEAL turned SCP-MTF soldier, he faced a perilous situation that ended in his untimely demise. However, against all odds, Blackwood awoke once more. Not only alive, but also equipped with newfound enhancements that defied explanation. As Mason grappled with the implications of his revival, he couldn't help but feel that there was more to his resurrection than met the eye. His instincts as a seasoned soldier and his acute awareness of his surroundings pushed him to uncover the truth behind his miraculous return. The agency that had orchestrated his return made an offer to Chen, his trusted comrade. The deal was simple, but laden with implications. Continue working for this enigmatic agency in exchange for Mason's revival. The specifics of the agreement remained shrouded, and Mason could only catch glimpses of these discussions through his diligent efforts. Amid the jigsaw puzzle of information, Mason's investigations led him to a name that resonated with a sense of dread. The Redwood Bureau. He found snippets of references, snippets of conversations that hinted at an organization of formidable power, one known for its dangerous and unpredictable nature. It was clear that the Redwood Bureau was no ordinary agency. They operated beyond the fringes of legality and morality. As Mason delved further, he began to connect the dots. He realized that this infamous agency was responsible for the research and resources that had brought him back to life. It was their team of scientists who had overseen the unprecedented feat, using methods and technologies that defied comprehension. Mason's discovery was a double-edged sword. On the one hand, he was grateful for the second chance at life, for the enhancements that allowed him to defy his mortal limitations. On the other, he was entangled in a web of secrecy and manipulation, caught between the agendas of the SCP Foundation and the ominous Redwood Bureau. After the incident on Christmas Day, when SCP-4666, the Yule Man, came after him and Chen's family, the game had taken a much more serious turn. The Redwood Bureau, realizing that Blackwood was onto them, targeted him and Chen's family. The game had taken a much more serious turn. The Redwood Bureau had intentionally targeted them. But why? To keep them quiet? To show them just who they were messing with? Either way, now Mason Blackwood was surer than ever the Redwood Bureau was trying to collect the anomalies for their own use, possibly to weaponize them. And it was up to him, Chen, and Agent Conroy to not only get to the bottom of their diabolical plans, but also to stop them at whatever cost. Once returning to the SCP Foundation headquarters after Christmas, Mason set out to delve his investigation deeper into the Redwood Bureau and the Foundation. He had to make sure the SCP Foundation and the Redwood Bureau were not conspiring together. If he found out that the Redwood Bureau was trying to undermine the Foundation and take over, he would need to expose them, and time was of the essence. He had just received information from Agent Conroy that the Bureau had recently acquired one of the most threatening SCPs to date, an SCP that could cause not only a threat to human life, but on a global scale. Digging through the archives, he found the file he was looking for. It was stashed in a top-secret locked file, but he was learning that he could do much more with his new abilities than just use brute strength. His mind was growing at a speed that was unreal. He could read a book and remember every word by heart. Thanks to a few hours of reading, he was now an expert at computer hacking. He clicked on the file labeled SCP-610 and read, Item Number SCP-610, Object Class Keter. Special Containment Procedures. Due to the vast area of infection SCP-610 covers, complete containment is impossible. Isolation of the area has proved far more effective, and permission has been granted by the Russian government to establish a perimeter to keep people out of these areas, under the guise of military operations. Should any organism displaying traits consistent with SCP-610 be sighted near this perimeter, then the established protocol requires it to be engaged at range with small arms until immobile, then dispatched using incendiary weapons and munitions from as great a distance as possible. Any living thing coming in physical contact with an organism infected by SCP-610 is considered expendable and is to be immediately terminated and incinerated. Any persons coming within 3 meters of SCP-610, infected life is to immediately withdraw from the area, be isolated from the rest of their team, and subjected to medical examination, using only remote techniques to determine if infection has occurred, and appropriate steps taken based on that determination. At present, the known infection vectors for SCP-610's spread seem to be focused on physical contact. Drone movements within heavily infected areas have returned air samples containing minute particulate, which when exposed to organic compounds will result in the spread of SCP-610. The results of these particular tests have revealed that most require several days to manifest, if at all, with the exception of direct contact with exposed lung and liver tissue. These particular tests show a rapid rate of growth which requires incineration of the testing environment no more than 24 hours after initial exposure, with even a 2-hour mishap risking a compromised facility event. Given that this kind of rapid growth only occurs in organic material existing outside the human body, this form of infection is currently considered a minor concern. These peculiarities have given rise to a series of questions regarding the possible origin of the infection in conjunction with the failed, and then a line said, data expunged. Containment protocol remains a scorched earth policy at this time, and no concern for transmission via water or air at infection perimeters exists, barring situational changes in the field. Description. Initial reports of SCP-610 came direct from the Russian government through undisclosable channels. These reports consisted primarily of disappearances of farmers in the region and were not considered until the local police, followed by the regional police, and finally, a government dispatched agent, all failed to report in within a 72-hour period. A small military contingent was dispatched to the area and quickly withdrew at which point the Foundation was contacted to investigate. The area SCP-610 affects is close to Lake Baikal in southern Siberia. Areas of known infection are marked on a map provided to us here. Containment perimeters are marked in blue, surrounding these infection areas, and as of present, no further locations have been identified. Incursions into the perimeter must be reported prior to conducting, confirmed during exploration, and debriefed on immediately following return. SCP-610 appears to be a contagious skin disease at first, with symptoms including rash, itching, and increased skin sensitivity. Within 3 hours, the disease will cause blemishes resembling heavy scar tissue to form in the chest and arm areas, spreading to the legs and back within an additional hour, consuming the victim completely within 5 hours. Exposure to higher temperatures vastly decreases the time for the contagion to spread, and complete infections have been recorded occurring in as little as 5 minutes. After the completion of the infection occurs, the victim's life functions will cease for approximately 3 minutes, after which time they will restart at 2 to 3 times the activity rate of a normal human. Following this, the scar tissue on the victims will start to move of its own accord and grow at a rapid rate. Normal human features start to disappear at this point under the infection, and the path of mutation appears to be largely random. Subjects observed in this stage of infection have been recorded as growing 3 or more limbs of a type such as arms or legs. The head may become misshapen and elongate or widen out, and parts of the subject may split open from which additional branches of flesh will grow. The duration of this stage of infection is unknown, and not all subjects appear to progress to the later stages. Under unknown conditions, an infected individual will cease moving and place itself in a location it deems suitable, where it roots itself. The fleshy growth on the victim will then begin to spread itself across all surrounding objects and consume them. Such objects do not spread the infection as living creatures do, however, and the effect of prolonged contact with these objects is recorded later in this document. It is assumed that the behavior is to create an area hospitable to continued growth of the other infected. Observation of SCP-610-infected settlements has been established using artificial methods such as remote robots. The data returned from these observations, coupled with the openly aggressive nature of the infected to attempt to spread SCP-610, has resulted in the Keter classification. However, so long as nothing is allowed to enter or leave the infected areas, it is considered a neutralized threat. Of concern are the cavernous areas beneath the infected settlements that were discovered during the exploration, and attempts to get research personnel into these areas are underway. The entries in the file ended here, with no further updates for the last 6 months. Blackwood closed the file and sat back in the chair. So, this infectious disease of sorts was supposedly contained in Russia, but the SCP Foundation also has a sample. And according to Agent Conroy, the Redwood Bureau has gotten their hands on it somehow. The implications could be catastrophic. Mason Blackwood had to get into contact with Agent Conroy. Conroy had to know what was going on here at the Foundation. The Redwood Bureau had finally struck, and their intent was now clear. They wanted complete control of the anomalies, and in order to do that, the SCP Foundation had to be removed from the equation. War had been declared, and two of the most powerful top-secret organizations in the world were at the heart of it. As Blackwood navigated through the chaos and horror unleashed by the breach of SCP-610 within the Foundation headquarters, he realized that containment was no longer feasible. The infection had spread too far, and the mutated creatures spawned by SCP-610's influence were multiplying at an alarming rate. He found himself having to do the unthinkable. He had to end the lives of every infected personnel that he came across, and the number was quickly growing. The once orderly corridors were now overrun with mutated creatures, their grotesque forms pulsating with the relentless energy of SCP-610. The air was thick with the stench of decay, and the sound of screams echoed off the walls, a chilling reminder of the carnage unfolding around him. With each step, Blackwood's heart pounded in his chest, his senses heightened to the danger that lurked around every corner. He moved with calculated precision. His training and heightened senses kicked in as he dispatched infected personnel with ruthless efficiency. It was a grim task, one that weighed heavily on his conscience, but he knew that it was necessary to prevent the infection from spreading further. As he fought his way through the maze of corridors, Blackwood felt a sense of desperation gnawing at the edges of his mind. The odds seemed insurmountable, the infected seemingly endless in number. Yet amidst the chaos and despair, he refused to yield. He navigated the corridors, surrounded by infected individuals whose flesh was mottled and grotesque. Extra limbs sprouted from their bodies, and their faces contorted into inhuman forms. Suddenly, as he turned a corner with his weapon at the ready, a massive fleshy creature, a twisted amalgamation of multiple staff members, lunged at him before he could react. He fired several rounds into the creature, but they seemed to have no effect as it attempted to engulf him in its mass. His hand holding his gun started to be absorbed by the writhing flesh. He braced himself for pain, only to be met by a surprising turn of events. Instead of agony, the creature convulsed, emitting a scream of torment with its multiple heads. It was then in the midst of the battle that Blackwood made a startling discovery. Despite the horrors surrounding him, he remained untouched by the effects of SCP-610. His enhanced abilities had rendered him immune to the infection that ravaged the bodies of those around him. Instead of infecting and absorbing his body, it was repulsed by him. For a moment, Blackwood stood frozen in disbelief, the realization sinking in like a heavy weight upon his shoulders. It was a revelation that filled him with both awe and trepidation, the knowledge that he alone possessed the power to resist the horrors of SCP-610. With renewed determination, Blackwood pressed on, his mind clear and focused as he continued his fight against the infected. He knew that his immunity was not just a blessing, but a responsibility, a duty to protect those who were not so fortunate. As he carved a path through the infected masses, Blackwood's thoughts turned to the future, to the battles that still lay ahead. He knew that the fight against SCP-610 was far from over, but with this newfound immunity, he was more determined than ever to see it through to the end. With a heavy heart, Blackwood made the difficult decision to enact the Foundation's last resort protocol, the complete destruction of the facility. It was a drastic measure, but it was the only way to prevent the infection from spreading beyond the confines of the building and threatening the outside world. Working tirelessly against the clock, Blackwood coordinated with his fellow agents to evacuate as many personnel as possible, guiding them to safety through the maze of corridors of the facility. Each passing minute brought them closer to the inevitable destruction of the headquarters, and Blackwood felt the weight of responsibility bearing down on him. It felt like hours passed, and the struggle was futile. But finally, as the last uninfected personnel was evacuated, Mason breathed a sigh of relief. As the evacuation was now completed, Blackwood and his team prepared to initiate the detonation sequence. With a heavy heart, Blackwood activated the explosives, triggering a chain reaction that would reduce the Foundation headquarters to rubble. As the detonation sequence initiated, Mason Blackwood stood at a safe distance, his eyes fixed on the crumbling structure of the Foundation headquarters. With a deafening roar, the explosives erupted in a fiery inferno, sending shockwaves rippling through the air. The once imposing building trembled as if in agony, its reinforced walls crumbling like paper in the face of the relentless onslaught. A torrent of flames engulfed the structure, painting the night sky with shades of orange and red. Fiery tendrils licked at the crumbling walls, consuming everything in their path with an insatiable hunger. The roar of the explosion was accompanied by the sound of shattering glass and twisting metal, a cacophony of destruction that echoed through the surrounding landscape. Chunks of debris rained down from above, scattering in all directions like shards of broken dreams. The force of the explosion sent shockwaves rippling through the ground, causing the earth to tremble beneath Blackwood's feet. The air was thick with smoke and ash, obscuring his vision and stinging his eyes with its acrid scent. Through the haze, Blackwood could see the building collapsing in on itself, its once proud facade reduced to a smoldering ruin. Flames danced across the crumbling structure, casting eerie shadows against the night sky. It was a scene of utter devastation. Yet amidst the chaos and destruction, there was a feeling of release. As the flames continued to rage unabated, Blackwood watched in silence, his heart heavy with sorrow for the lives lost and the sacrifices made. As the building continued to erupt in one deafening explosion after another, Blackwood watched from a safe distance, his heart heavy with sorrow for the lives lost and the sacrifices made. Yet amidst the devastation, he knew that their actions had been necessary to prevent SCP-610 from spreading further and threatening the world at large. In the aftermath of the destruction, Blackwood vowed to continue the fight against the forces that sought to exploit SCPs for their own sinister purposes. With renewed resolve, he embarked on a new mission to uncover the truth behind the breach of SCP-610 and to ensure that such a catastrophe never happened again. He swore to himself that the people responsible for this would pay for their crimes. As the explosion slowly subsided and the flames began to die down, a solemn hush fell over the once chaotic scene. The air was thick with smoke and ash, the acrid scent clinging to everything it touched. Amidst the smoldering ruins of the Foundation headquarters, the devastation wrought by the detonation was laid bare for all to see. Mason Blackwood reached into his pocket and pulled out a cell phone, his fingers trembling slightly, with a mixture of determination and apprehension. With a deep breath, he dialed Agent Conroy's number, his voice steady despite the gravity of the situation. "Conroy," he began, his tone firm and resolute, "it's time we put a stop to the Redwood Bureau." There was a moment of silence on the other end of the line, followed by a terse acknowledgement from Conroy. As the weight of their mission settled over him, Blackwood felt a surge of adrenaline coursing through his veins. The battle against the Redwood Bureau would be their greatest challenge yet. With a sense of purpose burning bright within him, Mason Blackwood ended the call and set off into the night, ready to confront the forces of darkness and protect humanity from the sinister machinations of the Redwood Bureau. Thank you for listening to Freaky Folklore, the podcast about mankind's horrifying legends and myths. Don't forget to follow Freaky Folklore on Spotify and iTunes. If you can, leave the show an honest review on iTunes to help us grow. Freaky Folklore is part of the EerieCast Podcast Network, the home for listeners who love to feel scared. Go to EerieCast.com to find other terrifying podcasts, such as Destination Terror, hosted by me, Carmen Carrion. If you would like to submit an encounter or suggestions for future episodes, you can email them to carmencarrion@gmail.com. That is carmencarrion@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter or Instagram for information on future episodes. Until next time, stay safe out there, because this world is a strange one.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.